All right. Well, how's it going this morning, church? Good times of worship, good times of prayer and family. It's always a good thing. The scripture says, don't forsake the assembly of believers. And I want to give you guys just a little, this is free, so I won't charge you for this one. Okay, you ready for something for free? Okay. So when it says don't forsake the gathering of believers, the assembly of believers, what we're talking about is when you are alone on this Christian walk, it is very difficult and very hard-pressed because you're pressed on by every side. When we come into church and to fellowship together, that's where we can strengthen each other, encourage each other. We can pray for each other just like we did today. Because when you're off doing your own thing, the enemy can come to steal, kill, and destroy you a lot easier because you're separated. Not that you're separated from God, but you're separated from God's people that want to love you, that want to care for you, that want to be there for you. Because how many of you know that life is tough sometimes, isn't it? I mean, God is good all the time, but life has some tough seasons. And when we don't gather together with other Christians, we don't get encouraged, we don't get that godly fellowship that we need, because then we're listening to all these other things. Or can be listening to all these other things. We need a godly perspective. We need godly people around us to help us. Because, hey, we're the body of believers. If we can't help each other, we're doing something definitely wrong. Amen? But we can gather around and be with each other. So I just want to encourage you guys, you know, if you ever see someone out there like, oh, I don't go to church anymore because of this and this. I'm like, it's so easy to get caught up in your own thing. And then when you do that, you're not gathering together, not becoming what God's called you to be. Because together, we're a big family, aren't we? Amen. All right, so that was free. I won't charge you for that. All right. The real question is today going to be my three-hour-long Sunday? And I want to tell you, it's not. So be okay. But it's coming because I've been saving up my time and ending early. I'm ready for a three-hour sermon. So you can, don't worry. That time will come one day. And when it does, it'll be amazing. You'll be like, wow, that didn't feel like 3 hours. That felt like 30 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, see, it's going to be amazing. So that day will come sooner or later. So one thing I want to do something this morning. Can I get a helper or maybe one or two helpers? I want you to pass out this blank sheet of paper. Can I get a helper? Oh, thank you, Isaac. I appreciate that. I would like for you to give everyone the sheet of paper. And what you're going to do with this sheet of paper is I want you to write down where you would like to see the church in 5 years. This is you casting some vision. Now, if you want to share it with your neighbor, that's fine. I'm not going to share everyone's up here. I'm going to take it back and pray about some things. But if there's something on your heart, you're like, man, I really would like to see that in the next 5 years. I want you to put it down. It can be something spiritual. It can be something natural. Be like, me and Pastor Kurt's prayer is that we'll get a par-3 golf course in the back with a swimming pool, and it'll be a nice nature walk as well. I guarantee you that's going to draw a lot of people from Newville. If we get an Olympic-sized pool and par-3 golf course, I promise you there will be people knocking down our doors to get in this house. And fish in the pond for fishing for kids' derbies, yes. And so it'll be great. They'll be big, and they'll be big fish like this size in there. Not the little ones, but the big ones. They're only going to be big fish in there. So that's what me and Pastor Kerr prayed about. So yeah, I'm kidding, half kidding, to be honest with you. That would be amazing if we did that, but that's not something I'm not really leaning towards. But that would be amazing. I'm not going to lie. But where you'd like to see the church in 5 years? Now, if we remember 5 years ago today, how many can remember 5 years ago today? I'm not saying you have to remember exactly what you were doing. I mean, hopefully you were in church, you know, and it was 11:15, maybe we were in church. But then again, maybe we weren't because 5 years ago was 2020. COVID. Remember that? Seems like such a long time ago, but yet it wasn't that long ago. 5 years ago, we were in the midst of the hardest season of the church's life, I really believe. Well, one of the hardest seasons. I won't say the hardest, but one of the hardest seasons for the American church was COVID. And so we weren't allowed to meet some places. Some states were shutting down assemblies of worship. It's amazing where we've come in 5 years, isn't it? But what's 2030 going to be? Can you believe that? 2030 in 5 years for some of us. Some of us are thinking about George Orwell's book, 1982, like where we had to read that, like, wow. Some of us are thinking about 2030, I made it, you know? Some of us like, and then some of us are like, oh, wow, that's a, I never thought that would we would get to this age, you know? Or some of us are thinking, well, hopefully Jesus comes back before 2030, you know? I mean, I don't know. But in 5 years, what's something you would like to see? And then once you write it down, I want you to deposit that in the basket in the back where we normally take the offering. And you can do that not now, but you can do that sometime during, after the service. So just write it down. I'd love to see it. If you want to put your name by it, you can. You don't have to. It can be anonymous. But I'd love to see where we want to see God move. Because how many of you know where there is no vision, the people perish? It's true. And we have vision for this year. I'm so happy we do. Pastor Steph was talking about building on, building up, and building together is her word that the Lord gave her for this year. That matches the other words that Pastor Kurt and Pastor I got. Pastor Kurt talked about bones becoming alive in 2025. Has a nice ring to it. I like it when he does things like that. It's good. It's good. Talking about Ezekiel and the dry bones, how they can become alive. And then the Lord shared with me inheritance, the word. Receiving it, using it wisely, and building it for the things to come. So it's been a little bit different. Did just the word now. It's the Lord's really revealing that. So one of the things that I would love to see in the next 5 years in this house, and I'm just speaking out of my own heart, is that we would be one or the most effective church in Newville. And what you might be like, well, Pastor Fred, what do you mean by that? I want to say that we'll have such a spirit of excellence that whatever we do, we're going to do it really well. Whatever we have worked hard for, whatever we deem important, we're going to do really well in those things. And all of Newville will be like, wow, if you want this, you go to that church. If you want this, you go there. For us to come out of the shadows and for us to be in the limelight. Because this church has a history of that, actually. This church used to run between 250 and 300. Can you believe that? 250 people here? I think you'd have to get here pretty early to get your seat. I want to just tell you that right now, because your seat was gone if you didn't get it before you got here. But yeah, I believe the Lord wants to add to our number, wants to do things in us. But not just one or two things, but I feel like the Lord wants to do a lot of things in us, in our kids, in our youth, in our men, in our women, in healing, in miracles, all these things, in preaching. He wants to do a lot of great things in us and through us. And I really am going after that we're going to be one of the most effective churches in Newville, especially in prayer and His presence, because we have to have His presence with us. If we're doing church and we don't have, and this, we are the church, and if we're doing this and His presence isn't here, we're wasting our time and our hearts are in the wrong place. It's not about numbers. It's not about offering. It's not about tithe. It's not about those things. Those things are good, but it's about His presence. And if we don't have it, we're in trouble. But I want to challenge you, though. Whatever you've put on those pieces of paper is going to require two things of you, though. It's going to require your time and your finances. If you want to see something done, nothing gets done by itself. All right? Am I right? Nothing's going to get done by itself. If I go outside and I look at that lawn out there, I'm like, boy, I do wish that grass got mowed. And then I go out the next week. Boy, I do wish that grass got mowed. And the grass is getting higher and higher. Like, boy, man, it's all up to my chest now. I'm like, man, I wish that grass got mowed. And we did nothing about it. What do you think is going to happen? Nothing. So it's going to take both those things. So are you willing to, church? Are you willing to? I'm willing to. But are we willing to move into those things that God's called us to move in? And in 5 years, you see some amazing things happen. Amen? So, everyone find something. Everybody write something down. Everybody got something? So to change things up a little bit, I haven't told a funny story in a while. You know, it's been a while since I've told a funny story, I think. So I was like, you know what, guys? It's time for you to have a funny story. You ready? Are you ready for something a little more entertaining? Are you ready for that? It's okay. It's okay. Don't get too excited. It's okay. It's all right. So I'm going to talk to you about my pastor, my friend pastor. His name is Pastor Fred. I love Pastor Fred. He's a good guy. Pastor Fred. So Pastor Fred, it's Sunday morning. Pastor Fred is the senior pastor, lead pastor at his church. He wakes up. He's like, man, I just don't feel like preaching this morning. I just don't feel like preaching this morning. I was like, and he's struggling. He's hearing the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you need to be in there. They're ready for you. God's got some great things to do. And he's just like, I don't feel like preaching this morning. So he calls up his assistant pastor. And his name is Pastor Kurt. It's amazing how many Pastor Kurts there are as assistant or associate pastors. I don't know. Maybe they grow them on trees somewhere. But his name is Pastor Kurt. So he calls him Pastor. And he doesn't want to lie. So he does not lie. He's like, Pastor Kurt, can you preach this morning? And just leaves it at that. Doesn't say why. He's like, can you preach? And Pastor Kurt's like, oh, yes, brother. I'll preach the word. You just do whatever you got to do. And, you know, I'll take care of the church. And you just, if you're sick, I'll take care of it. You know, we got you covered. And so Pastor Kurt, great man, you know, love him. And so he takes care of everything. So Pastor Fred's like, all right, what did I want to do today? Because I don't want to preach. And then a thought came to his mind. He's like, I'll go play golf. Now, Pastor Fred, I mean, how many of you know about golf? Do you know a little bit about golf? Everyone know a little bit about golf? A little bit, not much. You don't watch it maybe, but you know a few terms, right? Everybody knows a few terms, a few phrases, okay. So he goes out to the golf course, and so he packs his clubs in his bag, and then he puts them in his car. He goes out. He's head out towards the golf course, but he can't go to the normal one he goes to because someone might recognize him. So he has to go somewhere else. So he has to go drive a little further away, and then as he's driving along, he sees one of his congregation members going to church. He kind of ducks his head a little bit, you know, doesn't want them to see him. So he keeps driving on out, gets to the golf course. He's ready. He's going to be by himself. He's like, yeah, I need to be by myself. So, I'm good. So Pastor Fred gets up to the first tee. He's got his driver in his arms, which is, you know, your biggest club where you're going to go the furthest. He's got his driver, swings back, pow, knocks it down the middle of the fairway. The fairway is where you want to hit it, just in case you didn't know that. Hits it in the middle of the fairway. It's a wonderful shot, beautiful shot. He takes a step back. Man, that was such a great shot. And the Holy Spirit, he can feel the Holy Spirit. He's like, hey, you should be in church. And he's like, oh, I'll listen to you later, Holy Spirit. So he's just like, oh. So he gets up to a second shot, gets an iron out. He hits a nice flush shot. Flush means it's really good. Right on the green next to the pin. And then he taps that in for birdie. So birdies are a good thing and pars are a good thing. Bogeys are not in the world of golf. So you kind of want to decrease your number. Do you want to go under your number? So he makes his birdie in the first hole. He's like, wow, what a great hole. Man, I am so pumped. I've never been one under after the first hole. So he is just pumped. He's like, all right, I'm going to the next hole. So he hits it again. Boom. Makes par, which he's never parred this hole before. That's the first time he ever parred this hole. So the next hole, he's like, yeah, so he's doing well. The next few holes, he makes a few more pars. He doesn't make any bogeys on the front nine. On the first nine holes, he doesn't make any bogeys. He makes three birdies. He's like, man, this could be a personal best for me. He's excited. He's going out there. He's getting off his cart. He's kind of dancing a little bit. He's ready to go. He gets up to the last hole. Number 18. That's how many holes are in a golf course normally in a round. So he gets up to the 18th hole. He realizes this. If he scores bogey or better, he's going to shoot his personal best, the best he's ever shot in his life. And he's like, oh, man. But this hole is very difficult, though. And the reason because of it is it's an island green. So there's water on every side of this green. And you have to take a little boat to get to the green itself. So it's surrounded by water. And so you have to take a little boat to get the green. So it's about 150 yards, which isn't the easiest shot either, to get to the green. So he's like, man, if I can make bogey or less, I can, this is my personal best. And so he's like, all right. So he gets up there. He's a little nervous. He's like, takes a deep breath. Whew, swings it. Wham! Knocks it flush again. He's like, oh, this could be really good. This could be really, it's going, it's tracking. It's tracking towards the green. But then it turns a little bit. Looks like it's going near the pin. Closer. He's like, come on. Come on, be good. Be the club. Be the club. And so he's yelling these things. The ball takes one bounce on the green and then jumps right into the pin. Hole in one he makes. He throws his cup. He's like, yeah, I made a hole in one. He's so excited. He's like, yes. Oh, Pastor Fred's like, yeah. He does a little victory dance. Ooh, he's doing it. You know, he's doing all types of things. And then while in heaven, while all this is going on, the Holy Spirit is talking to God. And the Holy Spirit during this, he's like, what is going on, God? He's like, Father, what is going on with this guy? You are blessing him. He's making birdies. He's making par. He just shot a hole in one. A hole in one, something he's never done in his life. And he's supposed to be at his church on Sunday preaching your name. Why would you allow this to happen? And then God says very firmly, he's like, Holy Spirit, who's he going to tell? And immediately once God said that, the Pastor Fred was like, I can't share this with anybody. And he hung his head. The moral to this lesson is, pastors, don't play golf on Sunday when you're supposed to be preaching. Amen? Come on. Come on. All right. That'll preach. I haven't had a good story in a while, so I want to give you at least one. And one that wasn't about me, that was kind of one that wasn't me about what something I did. I want to enjoy things. So, amen. So I want you to turn to turn to Colossians 1. Turn to Colossians 1. And I'm not going to be long today, but I want us to go after one thing, one or two things. Colossians 1. God is so good, isn't he? He is. He truly is. And in one of the, reasons bringing it back to what we're talking about what God wants to do in this year, about going and being the most effective church in this area and being in this community, is that aren't we a body of believers, number one? Aren't we all a body of believers? And that includes other churches as well. We are the body. It says in the scriptures that you cannot say to the eye, I don't need you. You can't say to the hand, I don't need you. It says those things that we're all a part of God's body. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. And I love what Paul says in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Verse 2. To God's holy people in Colossia, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace be to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Paul's talking about this church in Colossia, which is the Colossians church. He wrote a letter to them hearing about this. And Paul, through his many travels, had many churches that he visited to, many churches that chose to partner with them and explaining the gospel and giving more directions in the early church, because there wasn't direction in the early church. There really wasn't. And some people had never even heard of Jesus. And that's why Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He wasn't saying that I am like Christ, imitate me. He's saying, you know, have heard of Christ. Let me show you how he lived. Because a lot of people didn't understand these things. So Paul is talking to this other church and saying, hey, I want to encourage you. I'm praying for you. And then in verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. How many of you need some great patience? I know I do sometimes. Ooh, Jesus, help me. I'll take some of that great patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into His kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The reason why I'm saying that is, if we want to be effective in this community, we need to be part of this community. And you might say, well, Pastor Van, I heard that you go to inter-council meetings and things like that for the Big Springs. I heard that you have other groups. We have outreach committees that we partner with other churches. We're getting ready to partner with other churches for an Easter egg hunt, which is going to be great. We're also getting ready to partner with a church that's something that's not been done before since COVID. And that is, we're going to be having a joint service with two of our other churches. Now, it's kind of funny because if you look at the dynamic or the denomination, we're not too far off of different beliefs and things like that, but we still are a little bit different. We still love Jesus. We still proclaim that, you know, people are saved by grace through the blood of Christ. We still are agreeing on those things, but it's a church of God and assembly of God church. We're going to be getting together, this congregation, on May 4th. We will not be in this building. We will be over at the Newville Assembly of God building May 4th. And not so that we can be like, oh, we're here, we're going to disrupt or anything. No, no, no. We're going to be there to see and to encourage all the believers in the area. We're going to build relationships. Now, I'm not saying you're going to become the best friends with the church. You know, if you do, great. You know, hey, did we become just best friends? Yes. All right, that's great. I mean, I'm okay with that. But we're there to encourage each other because we live in this community. And, you know, maybe you might see some people from your baseball team or someone that you went to high school with, or maybe someone that you've seen around and ministering and different things like that, maybe one of the outreaches. You're going to see people from Newville Assembly of God, Mike Kimler's church, and you're also going to see people from Big Spring Church of God, Big Spring Heights, that's what the word is. Big Spring Heights Church of God, and Chris Fahler's church is going to be joining us as well. So we're going to have about 200, maybe 300 people there together at the Assembly of God, and we're going to be worshiping together. We're going to be having community together. If we want to be effective, let's bring the body of Christ together. We're going to be worshiping, and they have a very similar style that we worship, as we do. Very similar style. I'm happy there's going to be some people that are going to be from our worship team on their worship team. And so it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a great time. But to be impactful, we have to make an impact, don't we? If we're going to be impactful for our community, and we have to show our community that, hey, we can get along as well. Because the community sees, if we're all these different denominations, all the different things, if they see that the churches can't get along, why would I be a part of that? Come on. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get together with every church, but I'm going to say this is where God has leading us to go. May 4th, we will not be in this house. We will be at the Newville Assembly of God Church in their building. And we're going to have a great time, folks. We're going to have a great time with them, worshiping with them, encouraging them, provoking them to righteousness. It's going to be good stuff. Amen. So what I want to do today, I love how Paul says, For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Today, I want to pray for that event. I want to pray for the churches in our area and also for the other things that we're going to be doing with the other churches. Like we do trunk or treats, we do Easter egg hunts, we do backpack giveaways, we do a lot of things with other churches, and we want to make sure we're praying for them. We're covering this in prayer, and not just one little, oh yes, Lord, bless them, and amen. Let's really pray to be effective, because we can be changing lives. Maybe in that church service on May 4th, maybe God might give you a word for somebody. Wouldn't that be a little wild? Oh, that sounds a little scary. No, it's not scary. So the Lord wants to do. You're in His house. This is my Father's house. I can't do wrong in my Father's house. I've always felt like that. I've grown up in this place. This is where I feel the most comfortable of every place. I like the basketball court. I've always been there. I've enjoyed that place. But the church is my house. It's my Father's house. And I've always felt comfortable, no matter what area I was serving in. I've always felt comfortable here. So I want to encourage you, if God gives you something for the members of that church or for something like that, go after it. Go after it. But today I want to pray for these events that are going to be going on, and I want us to pray for the churches that are going to be involved with that, especially Newville Assembly of God and Big Spring Heights Church of God. Can we do that today? And we're going to do it right now, because it's all about, we're talking about not just, we want to make sure we're participating in this church, not just listening, which listening is good, but we want to be active and participating in this house. I mean, there's a lot of bystanders out there in churches just doing whatever they're doing, and they're not participating. If you want to really see Jesus, participate. So can we do that? So what we're going to do is we're just going to close our eyes, bow our heads for a moment. And if you feel led to pray, I want you to pray out. And I don't want some sissy prayers. I'm not here for sissy prayers. I want you to say, Lord, let's do this. Let's do this. Because God's not about sissy prayers. Those are double-minded people. You will not see those prayers come to fruition. So let's pray. Let's really pray. Okay, folks? Let's do that. Thank you, Lord. If you want to pray in your prayer language for a little bit, that's fine. To get yourself going, but that's fine. So I want you really just to pray out loud. Pray out loud when the Spirit urges you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so good.